Let me welcome you to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live, where you have a chance to make your voice heard on the 6th of October, 2023. To complete that last story, Sound of Freedom has brought in over $217 million and counting at the box office, making it one of the top 10 most profitable films in the country this year. The movie beat out established Hollywood franchises like Disney's Indiana Jones and Paramount's Mission Impossible at the box office this summer. The massive success of the film has turned it into one of the highest-earning independent movies of all time. An independent film is one made or distributed by someone other than a major Hollywood studio. Get this. Sound of Freedom surpassed Quentin Tarantino's 1994 movie Pulp Fiction, which brought in $214 million to become the 18th highest-earning independent movie of all time. Pulp Fiction was, of course, tremendous and very popular, and yet Sound of Freedom beat it out. I encourage especially first-time callers to take advantage of the opportunity to call into the show. We have several standing by. George in Nevada, join the conversation. George, your thoughts.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I'm more of a listener than I am a caller. I called Rivero twice over a period of several years. This is the first time I called you. I think it makes me a first-time caller, doesn't it?
Yes. Excellent.
Okay. What I want to talk about is the Bush family. Now, over the years, several books have been published that go into great detail about what a bunch of dirtbags they are. I have four of them. Anyways, the most recent one I have was written by St. John Hunt, E. Howard Hunt's kid. And in that book, he claims that John Hinckley Jr. had a pistol that shot five rounds. He shot all five rounds, but none of them hit Ronald Reagan. And I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do. And I know St. John, by the way.
Oh, good, good. Now, in that same book, St. John Hunt claims that George Walker Bush is more fond of men, especially bald-headed men, than women. Do you buy that, or you never got concerned about
it? You're talking about W.
We had George Walker Bush, the kid, the idiot,
moron. We had a recent report about a young man who disappeared as a child. Turns out to have been an individual who was signed into the White House rendezvous with Bush.
What was his name?
Go ahead, George. You tell your story, and then I'll comment on it. Go ahead.
Now I'm in touch with many people from Erie, Pennsylvania. Now, at 9/11, when 9/11 occurred, George Walker Bush was president. His first secretary of Homeland Security was Tom Ridge.
Yes. It was then governor of Pennsylvania, yeah.
Right, and he didn't even fulfill his term. Anyways, now many people I talked to claim, and now this part is pure speculation on my part or just hearsay. Anyways, claim that Tom Ridge is every bit the pervert that George Walker Bush is. Now, have you ever heard that?
I'd not heard that about Tom Ridge. He looked the part. You know, he looked all American, looked kind of like a football player, like a guy who might be the captain of your high school team. I think he had the appearance, and they liked that for the first appointment, but I'm open-minded about what you're saying. Tell me more.
Okay, well, when he was campaigning he was a congressman, and then he became governor. When he was campaigning to be governor, he started talking about his children. Well, he didn't have any children, so he went out and adopted two kids. And now that part is, he adopted two kids, one girl. And anyways, I just wondered if you knew about that or had any insight into that matter.
No, I don't know, but I do know that Michael, the guy who succeeded him as the head of DHS was a dual U.S. Israeli citizen, and when they apprehended the dancing Israelis from Liberty State Park, Chertoff, he released them after 44 days. They went back to Israel. Three of them went on Israeli television and explained they were there to document the destruction of the Twin Towers, which, of course, implied foreknowledge. Israel was behind the entire plot, which I attribute to Bibi Netanyahu and Umer Olmert, both of whom were prime ministers of Israel, Bibi having more political lives than a cat, being the present prime minister. It was orchestrated and arranged, especially using the Port Authority of New York to transfer the World Trade Center into private hands just 6 weeks before the event, the Silverstone properties, where Larry Silverstone, its owner, is a personal friend of Bibi, and they spoke every Sunday. It was all designed to create a pretext for American forces coming to the Middle East and exercising their power to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually confront a burgeoning nation of Iran. It was brought to a halt in Syria when, at the request of the democratically elected president of Syria, Russia and Iran provided troops to put an end to it, but it was not for lack of trying. And in relation to your earlier story about the Hinckleys, they were actually friends of a Bush family. I believe it was the Neil Bush family was going to have dinner with the Hinckley parents.
Yeah.
Reagan, as best I've been able to determine, George, Reagan was shot under the left armpit when he was pushed into the vehicle by a Secret Service agent using a flechette that barely missed his heart. But he got the message, let George do it. And, of course, there we're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush, who was also one of the supervisors of the shooters on the ground in Dallas on 22 November 1963.
Okay, and they wanted to pay Silverstein for one incident, for one bombing, and he said, oh, no, there was two, and so they paid him twice, correct?
Right, because there were two planes. He did two things when he first took control of the World Trade Center. He fired the security company that was American, that had looked after the World Trade Center since it first opened in 1970 and hired an Israeli firm. And he renegotiated insurance. So there was an anti-terrorist clause. And because there were supposed to have been two planes, he claimed two attacks and got double indemnity, pocketing about $4.5 billion on a $114 million investment. They don't call him Lucky Larry for nothing.
Okay, now, so I still got to do. I think eventually it'll come out about Tom Ridge being a pervert too. But I'm not optimistic about it. But I've looked and looked and looked, and All I can come up with so far is he claimed to have children, didn't have children, and went out and adopted two children.
Yeah, well, that, you know, having a family, or really a pseudo-family, tends to be a cover. I'm hearing gruesome stories about Mike Pence, too, as being a very active gay man. And it turns out that powerful people can control politicians by blackmail. I mean, this was a practice of J. Edgar Hoover. He had sex dossiers on virtually every member of Congress so he could manipulate. He'd have an agent drop into a congressman's office and drop a photograph of him in bed with his mistress. And they'd say, well, you know, Congressman, we just want you to know we have these photographs and we're going to make sure they don't get into the wrong hands. And then as they're leaving, they say, we hope you'll remember the FBI at appropriations time. But the mob had a sex dossier on Edgar of him in compromising sexual relations with Clyde Tolson, his close personal friend and aide. So they were able to
FBI man.
Yeah, they were able to manipulate Hoover the same way he manipulated members of Congress.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm glad, George. For our first call, that was a wonderful call with lots of good stuff. Thank you so much. John in Michigan. John, join the conversation.
Hello, Jim. Just a couple of things. gentleman brought up some interesting things about the Bushes being perverts, the Franklin cover-up about Poise Town, and that was tied to the Bushes and also other people at the White House that enjoyed having fun with boys.
I think Bush Sr. was into girls. I think he was a pedophile. And if you look at Kathy O'Brien's book, The Transformation of America, she talks about how none of them, you know, none of them wanted to have sex with Dick Cheney because he was well hung, but also how George H.W. Bush had a predilection for little girls and liked to be their first time. It's a very shocking book. If you've never run across it, brace yourself because you're going to be blown away. Go ahead, well, John.
No, that's. I'm glad you promoted it as something people should read because the Bushes, the Carys, they're related. They're skull and bones, and so they. According, did you ever meet Charlotte Isherbeat or have a chance to talk with her at all, Jim?
Yeah, I interviewed her about the dumbing down of America. Yes.
Okay, well, she has, her website's still up. She died last year, and I would recommend people to go there, and also her son's. Her site is deliberatedumbingdown.com, deliberatedumbingdown.com, and her son's site is americandeception.com. On his site, he has so many different categories and all the history of everything, from education to religious stuff. It's a great, American Deception, a great site. You go to the education one, and you'll understand what took place. Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Michigan, I think I brought this up before to you, were the pilot states for this garbage that David Rockefeller, Hillary, and Ira Magazine are developed in, with behavioral psychologists in the 80s. And now we have
Yeah, which states were the pilot project?
Michigan, where I'm at, across the pond from you.
Right.
Oregon, which is a holy hell place. And Pennsylvania, which is a holy hell place.
And Pennsylvania. Oregon, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Very interesting. You mean for reducing the quality of the academic curriculum in public schools to dumb down Americans?
Well, there's an article on her son's site, Sheep's and Wolf's Clothing, and written in 1995. And the governors had complete control over all the funding. They used executive order to bring it into their state, and then they dropped it wherever they felt would be the most effective, which was here in northern Michigan in these small communities. I got exposed to it. We fought it up here in northern Michigan. I went to 4 years of school board meetings to try to expose this trash. 4 years, folks. And now we have all these parents that went through outcome-based school to work education and people on the school board that went through the same stuff, so they don't really know what a real education is and can be facilitated like the folks up here were with people from the Agenda 21 program and also the School to Work program. Just something I wanted to bring out to folks that are listening, that have family, that have children, that you're dealing with a bunch of dumbed-down people and ignorant when it comes to a lot of things except for what they've been indoctrinated with. I pulled my children out of school up here in Bel Air, Michigan. It's still going on. It's getting worse. I mean, it's gotten worse. I mean, they don't know how to read or write or spell. They don't know cursive. I ended up pulling them out, and we homeschooled them, which was due to, wasn't even on our, you know, air radar that would be something we do. But my son went to college a year early because of his ability to finally, we had to de-educate him. Everything that they thought wasn't true, and they were in seventh and ninth grade.
Just as Bill Casey, when he became director of the CIA, told the staff, and I know a member of the staff who was there at the time to hear him say it, our disinformation campaign will be a success when everything the American believe is false. And that's pretty close to where we're at, John, and I'm sorry to say.
I agree. And at that deliberatedumbingdown.com, folks, you can go there. Charlotte was in the Department of Education with Reagan and walked out of there with documentation with their agenda. He was supposed to eliminate the Department of Education. That was set up, I think, by the peanut guy. But she has her book online. You can download it and read it. But she told me, she's 92. She told me that both her father and her grandfather were in Skull and Bones, which is a Yale club,
right,
exclusive, satanic. And that,
right,
she said the education system is run by Skull and Bones. And so you can imagine, you know, their agenda for the folks.
Yeah.
Is that the music? Is that music I hear, Jim?
Not yet.
Okay, so I just wanted to
tell
bring
you,
that
I've
out.
Been, I've been very concerned about Yale because it seems to have so many ties to the CIA. I worry about Yale, not just Skull and Bones, but Yale. More, John.
Oh,
do you
yes.
have a final thought? Go ahead.
Well, the CIA is over there on the East Coast, and of course they will recruit any from any source that they can. But Harvard and Yale are probably good sources for people that'll follow. And when George Bush Jr. got into office, he had all of his Skull and Bones folks show up for a party. So, folks, the Bushes were very evil. They are very evil. So are the Clintons, and it has to do with their beliefs and their actions. They're just very despicable people, and have really compromised our country with all of their, Bush, we won the war, and all this stuff over in Iraq. I mean, they're just so disgusting. I heard, too, that, there's a Bush crime family article by Stu Webb, if you can find it still, Stu Webb. He's from Colorado, and I think there's a lot on there that explains a lot of things, and that, that Bush Sr. was in charge of Tesla just before his death. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Yes, I have. And in fact, I know Stu Webb very well. I've done many shows with Stu Webb. John, you made a lot of valuable points. A final thought?
Well, just thank God be with you and your family and bless you. And I'm 82 years old. I'm 74 this month, and so it's going to be hard to catch up to you,
Terrific, John. Excellent call. Thank you so very much. Charlie, we're going to be hit with a break here momentarily, but we'll carry you over. Start off already, Charlie, if you like.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to comment about what's going on up there in the House and everything. This is a breath of fresh air for the country, actually. I mean, it was like for the first time, I felt like the sun had come out behind, the clouds, and it had been raining for like a month, or a year.
Yeah.
I mean, for the last 2 years. And so what's going on is, but I don't think we can, as people, I don't think we voters, the little guys, the listeners out here, I don't think we can let go on this yet. I think this was an action done because we called our Senate, we called the people, the House, we called them and we told them, look, we don't want this guy in there anymore. I'm pretty sure it was the voters that swayed a lot of these people to vote to get McCarthy out of there. But we got to do the same thing with Jim Jordan.
Yeah. I agree.
Help me over, please.
Stick around. We'll pick it up.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. cows, too.
Easoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Continuing with Charlie in Florida. Charlie, I like your phrase, a breath of fresh air. I feel the same way exactly. Jim Jordan's a force of nature. Let him become speaker and do a lot of good for this country.
Well, I agree 100%. And I think the way we're going to have to do it, though, is we're going to have to continue to apply pressure the voters, all of us out here, by calling the people of the House, our House representatives and all that, and letting them know that we want this. We don't want Scalise. We don't want a McCarthy 2 or a mini McCarthy. We want a breath of fresh air. We want Jim Jordan. And that's who we need to get in there. And we got to keep pressure on, because now's not the time to give up. You know, if we don't
Charlie,
make the call,
I'll tell you, with Trump's support, I think he's a shoe-in. I think it's going to cement support for Jim Jordan to become the new speaker. I expect it to happen very fast.
Well, I certainly hope so. The other thing I wanted to comment on was that, I don't know if you know about this, but there was about a week or so ago, there was an insider wrote a report, an inside report in NATO for NATO think tank, and it recommended using first strike nuclear bombs, and even talked about using false flag nuclear attacks to make it look like Russia had performed a nuclear attack or done some type of thing. And they, because they don't want Russia to be influencing the European Union and NATO. Russian influence, right? Just like what you were saying. That's why we got to stop them over there, right? Supposedly. So, well, you know, this is real. I think Putin, and having this drill and everything, I think he understands what's going on. They're pushing us closer to nuclear war.
Yeah. NATO. It's a really bad idea, Charlie, because Russia is the most powerful nuclear nation on the face of Earth, and Russia has excellent intel. And if the U.S. or NATO plan some dirty deal, such as you're describing, Putin will intervene. It's just like Kiev was planning to wipe out the Donbass. They were going to launch an all-out slaughter, and that's why Putin intervened with a special military operation at that time. They knew what was coming. I think it's real tough to put anything over on Putin. And Russia, in my opinion, is today the moral leader of the world. The moral leader of the world. God knows it's not the United States, the UK, any NATO nation. We are tattered and torn. We are morally bankrupt. I like everything you've been saying, Charlie. Do you have a final thought?
Yes, I do. I agree. I think Putin is the moral leader of the world right now. And I think that, you realize, the other day we were talking about this Zelensky appointing this witch over there, I can't think of her name right now, being to go around as an ambassador to speak in the schools and stuff. That should make people think. The Bible, I know you're not a Christian, but, you know, the Bible tells us that we fight spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
And that should tell everybody what side we're on. I mean, what side is right? Putin, on the other hand, is opening churches up in Russia and promoting Christianity and bringing it back from the old Soviet Union days. And then this guy's going around promoting a witch to be, yeah, where? How do you not see a contrast here? And so which side should be on the moral right there?
Yeah.
But final thought on it real quick is that yesterday there was a missile that hit a school, I think it was, or something like that. It was a building there in Ukraine that killed 50 people. And, of course, this is what they're trying to blame it on, Putin saying he attacks innocent civilians. But I got a funny feeling that this is like part of one of these false flags that they're talking about.
Yeah.
Because Putin wouldn't have any reason to do that. But Zelensky, on the other hand, would, because if he can prove that there's been some, you know, he can get more money, that's why, to continue the war, see?
Yeah, remember, Zelensky and the Ukrainians are panic-stricken that aid is being cut off. They're desperate to get more money. And it's all corrupt. I mean, half of that money is going into their own personal pockets. But yes, this is a perfect situation, Charlie, for another attack to blame on Russia that the Ukrainians are doing themselves. I think you're spot on everything you've been addressing here today.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Charlie, great call. I look forward to your next. Meanwhile, we have Bruce in Texas. Bruce, join the conversation once again.
Hey, hello, Jim.
Stand by, Bruce. We'll pick you up right after the break. Bruce, stand by.
Younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, days I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form.
Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Bruce in Texas, join the conversation. Your thoughts, my friend.
Yes, sir. I know this little period here is very short, so if you want to hold me over, great. If you have too many callers, that's fine, too. But my second topic is going to be 9/11. But first of all, I want to say these first callers today have been terrific, especially that guy, the very first one. Very good stuff there. I want to say Tom Ridge, I think maybe he was more like the face of the DHS, you know, he had that, like you say, like that football player look, the All-American guy. He didn't stay in office too long, did he? He was replaced by Michael Chertoff, who I believe was actually the person they had intended to put in there in the first place. It was kind of like a script, you know, because Chertoff, his mother was a Mossad agent.
Yeah, well, Chertoff himself. Bruce looked like a Nazi prison guard, for God's sake. I mean, you know, he conveyed the wrong image. I think they need someone who looked all-American like Tom Ridge.
Yeah, like that football player that volunteered to lead the NFL to join the U.S. Army Rangers, you know, and they used him as like a poster boy for recruiting. Yeah. And then he had questions he had questions about what was going on there. He saw the opium and everything, and then he got a couple of bullets across his head, you know, accidentally. That's what they do. That's what they do with firefighters, you know. These are heroes, and they lionize them and everything, but they don't tell you exactly how they died. You know, they just say, oh, he sacrificed himself, so maybe you should too, you know. It's a good thing to do. But this whole thing that's going on with Russia, in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, but these are Trotskyite Jews that are in the Western, especially the U.S. State Department, they weaseled their way in. Victoria Nuland, now they're funding the Ukraine war through grants from the State Department. So they're doing an end run around Congress. That's how desperate they are to keep the prop up Ukraine.
Yeah.
And her husband, Robert Kagan, along with another Trotskyite Jew, and his father, you can look up his history, Crystal. Robert Kagan and Crystal.
Bill Crystal,
Bill Crystal, the Project for New American Century, the 1999 White Paper, Rebuilding America's Defenses. We need a new Pearl Harbor. we can look into that, too. But also, I heard a disturbing podcast yesterday. This migration replacement thing is all funded through the State Department, the UN, all these governments. They're the ones that are doing it. And we need to build a wall thing. I think that's just window dressing. That's just purely PR because these northern states are becoming overwhelmed and this is too much criticism. It's just looking too bad for them. So they're gonna make a half-hearted effort at building the wall. I don't think it's gonna happen.
I think it's highly probable. You got it exactly right, Bruce.
Yeah, and over there at UNS.com, now the discussion went for a couple of hundred comments fairly, rationally, and you had people discussing the pros and cons of possibly, what was used on 9/11 with the nukes or something else, and now the trolls are coming in. I think one of them in particular that you're familiar with, a Mr. One Born Free.
Yeah. I've long thought he was sincere but misguided, but I could be mistaken about that.
Yeah, I posted one picture that shows as the towers came down, there's a dark swirl inside the cloud of smoke that's kind of like spiraling, you know what I mean? He said that's a fake picture, it's been photoshopped, and then I dug up the oldest version. And it was posted on a Russian website back in 2008. He said it's Russian disinformation. anyone that's going in that direction.
Bruce, do you know the significance of the swirl? If you're talking about a horizontal swirl, that's when a plane passes through, smoke, it'll create that. So that would be evidence suggesting a real plane had been used. I'm not looking at the photograph, but I suspect that's what's going on, in which case One Born Free may be right about that one, because it wasn't real planes that hit the north or the south tower.
No, this is not a horizontal swirl. It's inside the smoke as the building, as one of the two towers came down. There's a gap in the white concrete, pulverized concrete cloud. It's very dark, and it's kind of like it's called a dark swirl. I'll send it to you.
Send it to me. Do you have another thought about 9/11, Bruce, before your final thought?
Yeah, these people, they're bringing up, you're full of crap because I watched Ryan Dawson, you're familiar with Ryan Dawson, and actually Rivero had him on one day as a guest host, and he started really cracking up, and his voice quivered, and he hung up on me when we were discussing the so-called plane that went into the Pentagon. And Ryan Dawson tried to debunk the University of Alaska study into the Alaska Building 7, and he maintained that the entire structure shifted sideways off its foundation and then went straight down. It's patently absurd.
But it is true. It is true that the top floors of the South Tower did tilt, and then it just blew apart. I mean, it's stunning. Even Steve Jones acknowledges he can't explain it. It required a massive source of energy to bring that about, and then of course the rest of it was destroyed, so far as I can tell, by mini nukes from the inside out, from the bottom to the top for the inner tube, and then the top to the bottom from the outer. But that is one of the most puzzling aspects of the whole case that has received far too little attention. Bruce, a final thought.
Yeah, so is Building 6. the Jew crowd and the mental thermite people, they don't want to look at Building 6 either. As a matter of fact, neither are the U.S. government. You don't ever see pictures of Building 6. It's literally caved inside out, like if you put a stick of dynamite inside a watermelon and it just opened up from the inside out.
Yeah.
And the remains are smoking for days and days, weeks afterwards. There's only one thing that could have done this. You know, one source of energy. And we all know what that is, but that's all I had. We're not going to break in.
Good call, Bruce. Thanks very much. Thanks very much. Reagan in Wisconsin. Reagan, my friend, join the conversation once again.
Hello, Jim. I'm going to try and make it as short as I possibly can. Three bullet points. The crystal ball, the October surprise in an off-election year. What are they going to spring on us? And I'm going to put four bullet points up for your consideration. I'll be off the air right after that. So there's going to be the CV 2023, plausibly, bank holiday, plausibly, border terrorism. It's wide open. You never know who's coming in. Or also suspicious deaths of, say, investigative journalists or anyone who, let's say, Jim Jordan. Maybe he's an upstanding person. And maybe he comes down with sudden cancer. Also, expedited schedule of Trump bought 4 years that they didn't expect. So Trudeau is faltering. Macron is Macron. And people are, I think, in the elite political class starting to freak out. Maybe I'm wrong, but they're going to panic. And when a caged or a cornered animal is cornered, it's going to lash out. And then the third thing, I'll hang up. The upcoming longer term is the WHO and WEF's timeline. They were thrown off by a couple of years. So I'm saying the H2O scarcity that they just announced, we've got a lot of water on the planet. And then the daughter of John Kerry espousing that we should get rid of 4 billion people in one fell swoop. And I'm out. Thank you.
Oh, Reagan, you're covering a lot of nice points. The most wonderful remark just happened yesterday when Vladimir Putin declared a World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab as a globalist terrorist holding humanity to ransom, and that he and his allies, the elite of the New World Order, have failed and their days are numbered. When Vladimir Putin says something, you can take it to the bank. Reagan, I'd say all of the above. We're going to get all of the above. Thanks for the call. Meanwhile, Dan in Washington. Dan, join the conversation. Dan, are you there? Dan, are you there?
There you are. There it goes. I called about the Sound of Freedom in the Indiana Jones. I would just recommend if people can see these for free, go ahead, but I don't think you should give them any more of your money. Indiana Jones, I broke my own advice and watched that this week. And I was just disgusted with the Spielberg propaganda, the anti-Nazi. Basically, the first one, he chops the Nazi guy up with the plane propeller. And then this one, they drowned a Nazi. And then Indiana Jones says, it's fun punching Nazis, which is a term they were using during the Antifa riots, go punch a Nazi to promote violence against nationalists. So it's a pretty radical. I mean, someone asked me to describe it. I had no idea, really, looking back at Indiana Jones, how Jewish. It's a Jewish revenge film. That's what it was. It wasn't even that good. So
I think that's I think that's a nice point, Dan. I mean, I enjoyed the Indiana Jones movies heretofore, but this last one, I gather, is a complete waste of time. The one with Kate Capshaw, whom Spielberg married, she's a mediocrity as an actress. That was ridiculous. And, of course, they're trading on stereotypes here about Nazis and all that. They're trying to turn Trump supporters into Nazis. So I think a lot of those themes are tied in with a Democrat political agenda, and Hollywood is doing its best to promote it. So I think you've made some nice points, Dan. A final thought you'd like to add?
Well, yeah, Sound of Freedom, it's almost the same way. I think we should figure out what happened with Epstein, you know, that sexual blackmail. But the producer that made the Sound of Freedom adopted two Haitian kids. So this sounded, to me, this is like just a conservative attempt. So they want to say, look, we're not racist. We're adopting all these third world kids because most of these sex trafficking things are in, like, Guatemala. And I could just see them using this, you know, try to prove they're not racist. That's what conservatives are good at. Just look at me. I'm not racist. Here's my mulatto grandkid, you know. And that's kind of what the moral of the story, it sounds like, it's just to go adopt third world kids, you know.
You saw the film?
No, I didn't see Sound of Freedom. I'm not going to, once I found out the producer was that kind of guy that was adopting these kids.
Dan, take my word for it. Go see the film. It's very good. It's very well done, and it focuses on a crucial issue about kidnapping children and their sexual exploitation. Actually, you're going to wind up liking the film, which isn't to say that your concerns about other aspects might not be well-founded. Go watch a film. Let me encourage you. It's actually excellent. Dan,
thanks very much
for the call. Dave in New York. Dave, join the conversation.
Yes, hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Share your thoughts, my friend.
Yeah, well, basically, I heard this show that was on yesterday on your Revolution Radio. I haven't finished listening to it yet, but it was very interesting. I think the comments on that show are rather interesting, too. It appears that no one has come up with any of the tenets or the evidence that virologists use to prove virology. So we haven't been able to disprove any of those tenets yet. But I'm still hoping that people will come up with that rather than calling people names and things like that. So I don't know. What did you think of that show? I mean, it doesn't sound like the guy who was on with you was saying that he had absolute proof that viruses exist. I think he was saying that it's open. It's an open question, and we should discuss it and debate it with only really the good scientific evidence and details of the science understanding it. It seemed that people were just looking at small closet of information about alleged isolation issues. So what are your thoughts, Jim?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, there are a good number of video pros and cons about viruses and virology on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. I didn't post them, but my webmaster, who has a keen interest, has. My present position is that it's tough to deny there are departments of virology, there are journals of virology, there are lots of articles in virology. That creates a prima facie presumption that it's a legitimate field. But it may be that there are a lot of claims being made about transmissibility of viruses in specific cases like SARS-CoV-2. I do agree are completely open to suspicion, where they wanted to create a threat, a tremendous threat, you know, with a phony pandemic and attach it to this virus where most Americans are going to be at a total loss to sort out which end is up. So I think there's a legitimate issue here for debate, Dave. I think there's a legitimate issue for debate. Yeah, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, my thought, that talk seemed to be only about the existence of viruses, and that's a very important first step because, you know, if they don't exist, then we're wasting our time. But no one has really shown that the tenets of virology are false. by even mentioning what they are. Yeah. So,
well, I think there is a subject of study here. I mean, you know, if you have electron microscopic study of the structure of viruses, I mean, there's something there that has a structure, and it's a type of thing, you know.
Self-assemble and they're all identical, and they keep self-assembling in an identical fashion. It sounds rather ludicrous, but you know, let's consider this this theory and weigh the evidence. Talk to you later.
I believe that viruses, bacteria, and fungi are the three most primitive forms of life on Earth. There's some dispute about whether viruses, strictly speaking, qualify as having all the attributes of life, which tend to include ingestion, digestion, excretion, mobility, reproduction. We'll see. Some of those may not be true of viruses, which would be suggest they might be some kind of intermediate form, not quite life, but distinctly not merely inanimate stuff. So, Dave.
Well, maybe they're like a little computer code on your computer that infects it, a virus. Very interesting analogy there. Hey, Bill Gates was involved in that kind of stuff too, wasn't he? Funny.
Yeah, but of course, you know, Gates appears to have deliberately designed his computer program so they'd have defects so he could make money off of patches, and you'd have to buy a new one and a new one and a new one. The guy's a scam. He's a con artist from the beginning. And of course, he'd been warning us that if we didn't, you know, weren't enough impressed by the first pandemic of COVID, we're going to be impressed by the second. He's promising us, which means he knows what he's talking about, because he participated in the design. You can take that to the bank.
I think his statement is very scary, and he was smirking, and his mate there was also smirking at what he said.
Yeah.
So, seriously. Thanks, Jim.
There's a guy in the order of George Soros who deserves to be arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. The world would be better off without them. Dave, thanks very much for the call. Tom in Florida. Tom, join the conversation.
Yeah, all great calls today, I got to say. Tomorrow's my another year of disintegration of getting constipation, I guess, with all this insanity. But tomorrow's my big day, October 7th. But anyway, Jim, the reason I called is...
You mean tomorrow's your birthday?
Yeah, that's right.
And well, happy birthday. How many years young will you be?
What's that Beatles song, 64?
Yeah, when I'm 64. Great, Tom. Congratulations.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Thank you. I want to talk about yesterday when I saw on Hannity show with Rand Paul. Rand Paul says that Fauci should be in prison for life. For what he just got a number one bestseller book, the senator, Rand Paul.
Yeah.
And they Hannity asked him, and Rand Paul said that Fauci should be locked up for life and the key thrown away, basically.
Yeah,
that's what he said about Fauci. Can you imagine that? A sitting United States senator is saying to the American public that Fauci should be in prison and the key should be thrown away. Look it up.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I am. I'm impressed too. I think his book went to number one on the bestseller list with Mark Levin. Here's now the biggest problem, though, Jim. And I hope Bruce calls in Monday or Tuesday. They have a bunch of black congressmen in Texas. They're not our Democrats, and now they're saying the border wall has got to be built, and Joe Biden has dropped the ball, and Joe Biden is basically he's broke the Constitution. He's
of course.
He took an oath to enforce the laws of the Constitution, and he's broke the oath. And his oath now is useless, and he needs to be held accountable. And these black cops, I think there's 12 of them now, 12 black Democrats right now are on board with the Republicans that build the wall, because the black community are the ones that are going to say, get back in the bus again.
Well,
all these Hispanics
you're
come here,
right.
Guess who's going to be going back in the bus?
Correct, yes.
And now these black people, these black leaders are like, oh, man, they're going to take our social welfare net away from us. But they're all freaking out. And I hope... He used to be a great caller. He's called Lenny. I hope Lenny would call in. He's an Afro-American gentleman. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he's still around. and hope Lenny calls in and gives us a perspective what's going on with the black community. Because the blacks are the ones that are going to be punished. Look what's going on in Harlem in New York, Jim. Look
yeah.
what's going on in Harlem. It's disgusting. And all these illegal
Tom, I know, I'd be glad if Lenny were to begin calling in. That would be great. Good idea, Tom.
Yeah, and I hope Sebastian from Sweden calls in and let you know what's going on with that prime minister, with all those illegals over there. They're kicking them all out, hope to God. And here, you got to get Trump back in there at all costs to get all these illegals out of here.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing Jim Jordan needs to do next week, when he gets the speakership. Every illegal for 30 years is going to get out of this country, whether you like it or not. So, Dreamers, I have a dream myself. I want my country to go back the way it was. And that's my dream.
Tom, that's great. That's great. A final thought?
My final thought is this is hope. We cannot allow Texas to go blue. Because once Texas is blue, you're definitely looking at a civil war. You're looking at a civil war in this country. I guarantee it. It's going to be the cartridge box. If Bruce goes
blue, and everything in Texas. I don't think it's going to happen, Tom.
If Texas goes blue, we're in civil war. That's all I'm going to tell you. Civil war.
Wow.
White Anglo males better grow some balls. Tom. He better get some balls because they're going to be picking up cartridge boxes. That's all I can say.
Tom, thanks. Thanks for the call.
That's all I can say.
Francis in North Carolina, you got about 60 seconds to say your piece, girl.
Hey, Gam. Hey, mister. First of all, quick thought for you. Fantastic call today. Fresh air for change. I have to hand it to you. You rock. So with that, you have a weekend, and I'll have a green olive with whatever flavor margarita you want.
Wonderful.
As long as it's not
wonderful. Mango. Mango.
Mango.
Hey.
That works.
Hey.
Later, kiddo.
Thank you, Francis. Very nice. David in Massachusetts, you're just about out of time. David, go ahead and say whatever you can in the remaining time.
Yeah, I'm glad I just got squeezed in for a very brief message, Director Fetzer. You know, to the normies, Director Fetzer, to the normies, TGIF, to the working stiff normies, these taxpayers and everything, TGIF stands for Thank God It's Friday. But you know what TGIF means to me now? Thank God it's Fetzer.
David, that was wonderful. I wish everyone out there have a wonderful weekend. Spend time with the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here. Have a good one.
Gonna try a little help from my friend. Ooh, I get high.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.